Quantum Foam, Episode 17. Grand Unified Theories.
Quantum Foam.
Physics is at the foundation of all the mathematical principles that guide the heavens. You have to understand physics.
More than likely, that's not going to happen, but...
forces which govern the universe. Physics.
So we know it's been like 8 decades since you physicists realized that the theories of quantum mechanics and gravity just don't fit together. And so it's still a puzzle. How do we combine these two things? We know that there's two different schools of thought, two different programs. There is one and two. There is string theory and loop quantum gravity. This episode is about these two theories and other grand unified theories, other GUTs or UFTs or TOEs. Or quantum foam. Basically, quantum foam is this stuff. So these motherfuckers need to shut the fuck up and listen to what the fuck I'm saying before I fucking kick your motherfucking asses, motherfucker. Anyways, back to the science. You know, string theory, it's attracted most of the attention. This premise is easy. Everything is made of tiny strings. Doof, doof, doof. They wobble, they stretch, they vibrate, they join, they split, etc. However, there's problems with it. You need to have a background grid lattice that is static in order to describe this. So we don't know if this is the way it is or not. The LQG people, the loop quantum gravity people, which I tend to lean with, is by contrast concerned less with this matter that inhabits the space than the quantum properties of the space itself. So this is more a methodological approach to the study of quantum forces. They call it loop quantum gravity to distinguish it from other forms of quantum gravity, which is sort of a general term, and gravity is even more of a general term. We discussed Newton's gravity last time.
Yep, Newtonian physics. It's a thing now.
But what gravity are we talking about here? We're talking about loop quantum gravity and string theory and theories of everything and grand unified theories and what we look at to try to decide what is our theory of everything and how do we use it mathematically to our advantage. That is what I am attempting to show you, but it is not going to be done by saying,
here's an equation, there you go.
That equation is zero. Guess what your equation is?
Here's an equation, there you go.
Nothing. That's just the way it is. Explain. Okay, here's 1,000 episodes.
And that's how you do it.
Understand now? Do our calculations and then come back out. You get it? Okay, so we're only partially there. So investigating this is the task we are attempting to complete right now. So the smooth background of Einstein's theory of gravity in this theory, in this loop quantum gravity theory, is replaced by nodes and links. And we give these links quantum properties. Space is built up of discrete chunks. Think of this like an ultrasound. You see that there's some kind of fan-looking thing that looks like a sweep of an ultrasound thing that you would imagine drawing a picture of the baby in the womb. And so think of quantum gravity as a discrete chunk. Think of it looking like a discrete chunk of a picture of the quantum. And let's say you see a baby in that small discrete chunk of the quantum, which will appear to you like a sonar sweep of a pregnant woman inside of her stomach where there's a baby. Never mind the example I'm using for comparison, but essentially it is a small angle fanned out section picture of a discrete chunk of the quantum, which loop quantum gravity attempts to describe. So that's what it does. This approach has been thought to be completely incompatible with string theory. There are lots of technical problems that separate these fields. This 10-dimension shit is stupid. String theory implies supersymmetry. We don't know this. We've not tested this with the collider, with any of the colliders, because they haven't been able to reach a large enough energy. And this may be something we can figure out using a different energy, but for now, we don't know what tests we need to run because we need some other theories to test. When we get enough of them together and we get somebody we respect as much as Dr. Hawking, then we will run more tests to figure them out. However, young people like me, they do not listen to us when we say, hey, here's a theory, go check this out with your big, huge, expensive machines. They ain't gonna take it. I need to explain this shit with ample amounts of mathematical proofs. Also, it needs to have time to have been respected by the public, to be suggested by others, to where in a public forum I can be extended upward to being regarded as something that isn't completely whack. And so if the math is here and the abilities are here and the demonstrations are here, eventually they will catch on. As with all you guys before, all of the guys between then and now, and with undoubtedly the people after myself, this is the way it is. So we look at these unified field theories to try to see which one is most likely to be a theory of everything. All you older guys have a fresh dose of humility, because us younger guys can't be blamed for something that happened before we were even an adult. The younger generation of string theories are beginning to look outside the normal theories of string theory for methods and tools that might be useful to find out what a theory of everything might be. They're doing exactly the same thing I'm doing right now. They want to do it whether they're getting paid or not. They're not getting paid to do this. They're just doing this to figure it out. For the quest of the science itself, for the purpose of curiosity. They still have that rover up on Mars fucking around with its megawatt laser. Pretty cool. It'd be fun to go up there and just drive those motherfucking things around all day. It'd be cool. It'd be cool being up there too, but you gotta be up there closer to that because the time lag is too much for here on Earth. But you could be somewhere between here and there and be giving it some commands and not have to wait too long. There's a lag time between this empty space spot I'm in and Mars. What do you do during that time when you're waiting on the bar or you're waiting on the computer bar to load because this processor's adding 1+1? For some reason, there may be an unexpected link between string theory and loop quantum gravity cooked up by the string theory folks. Oh, wait, they're getting tired of this. Maybe we should make it connect to it somehow. An unexpected link. Obviously, there is a motherfucking link.
An unexpected link.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be two parties that speak about the same shit, which is a unified field theory. So there are different determinations that can separate these approaches. This Juan Maldacena guy made a pretty good discovery. It matched up a gravitational theory in a so-called anti-de-Sitter space, ADS, space-time with a field theory that's conformal on the boundary of space-time. With this type of designation, it basically says that loop quantum gravity can be described by the better understood field theory. It is the better understood field theory. So the full version of the duality is a conjecture. We are conjecturing. Where are we going to fill this H-wave particle? A particle that becomes a wave that looks like an H. It's a duality. It's a Heisenberg. It's a problem. And the limiting case of this string theory has nothing to do with. So that much is good. Pretty much, it should be shared by any theory of quantum gravity. So this guy saw that it's a pretty good place to start. It's a good contact point to sort of start looking at a different theory. So these are some Princeton guys who are following Einstein. He was chilling around that place 65 years ago.
What about Eric Verlinde and his brother?
Other accomplishments that are worth noting: that Herman Verlinde, another Princeton guy, he frequently works on string theory. He's finding plausible methods from LQG that might help illuminate this. He wrote a good model. It was an anti-de-Sitter space conformal. It was a simplified model of two dimensions, 2+1. He found that this could be described by a network like those used in LQG, but it presently only works in three dimensions. So how do we put this into our five-dimension thing and then shoot it to the future? That's what I want to know. And that is a 1+2, 1+3. That is a 1+4. We need a 1+3 before we can even think about getting a 1+4. So let's get on that. So they say this loop quantum gravity thing's been seen too narrowly. It has good potential for the future. We have problems with this. I do too. Anti-de-Sitter spaces have negative cosmological constants. We see one that has a positive. So what is this negative-positive shit? Why are they describing negative math that would come out of the white hole and go into the black hole?
We should get Mr. Hawking back on here again.
Okay.
But string theory necessitates the inclusion of an anti-de-Sitter space.
I'm allergic to bullshit.
At least be pragmatic.
Okay? This motherfucker is pragmatic. We don't just inhabit the mathematical construct that is anti-de-Sitter space. It's simply not possible. That number describes the large-scale geometry of our universe. This cosmological constant may not even fucking matter. But one thing that has rejuvenated people like me and others is that if you really know what the fuck you're talking about, then the contributions that Dr. Hawking did were pretty profound. This Hawking radiation, what the fuck is this? We'll do shows on that too. It's where antiparticle constituents are being sucked into the hole, and half of them are not.
Black holes are mysterious.
You're losing half of matter. So what does that mean? Are we losing information to another universe? Should we be able to get readings of other information coming to our universe? Can we see if another universe might be older than we think? If there's a time discrepancy on the age of the universe in one of the areas that shouldn't be this age, we might not know shit like we think we do. So we're likely to have a colossal changing of thought after the eye goes up. The new infrared telescope. Thank you for helping invent that reflecting telescope.
Don't sweat it. I did it for me anyway.
Because we wouldn't know what we know now if it wasn't for your description of that. And then Edwin Hubble doing his study and finding out that we actually had a positive cosmological constant. So this kind of makes you want to think about certain things. We see that there is a positive cosmological constant, yet we are building these structures that can deal with the negative cosmological constant. They have pretty much perfected pretty good methods. This ADS-CFT, this anti-de Sitter space combining with a conformal theory. What does this mean? It just means it can be solved. Exactly. We have a matrix we can write. We can write a matrix with all the values and all of the possible solutions, potentially. I'm trying to think, what is the reason why the inverse math cannot just be seen as forward math? What exactly do these negative and positive signs refer to? Do we actually mean a forward direction of expansion, meaning the word to expand means to go out like a balloon? So how much more fundamental do we need to get? That's the question. And this is the issue that Einstein had, grappling between my biggest blunder and if I'm actually right or not, but for the wrong reason. You might be wrong for the right reason, and you might be right for the wrong reason. So that is something that we don't think about often, and then people who are pragmatic have issues accepting it. So I think you have to keep a little bit more of an open mind than that. And yeah, I'm challenging every piece of physics ever written by any of you motherfuckers.
I think my gravity is holding your ass up right this very moment, Mr. Ace. Hey, there's Steven.
I said build a fucking synchrocyclotron, and they did it, to find the Higgs boson to complete the standard model of particle physics. Bitches, 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 asshole Americans.
So now that we got that off our chest.
It's true.
What else?
Anti-de Sitter space, Minkowski spacetime, Bose-Einstein statistics. We are describing potential scenarios for future events where we will observe whether or not it comes true or not. So anything goes. We're describing all of this stuff. What we're doing is changing the description of a combination of this stuff. The stuff isn't as important. The combination of how we present the stuff is. Keep that in mind. Question is, how are these different theories going to look? Where else can these string theories and loop quantum gravity theories come together? I mentioned it a little bit ago. This information that falls into a black hole. There is certain things like the equivalence principle that we have to keep in mind. The equivalence principle is a major thing of general relativity, and so far we have not observed any discrepancies in that. I think he's wrong, but he's pretty damn fucking right. Nobody has done this yet. We might be able to do this in 24, so I better get my ass in fucking gear, because I'm running out of motherfucking time to get this shit done, so you better get your fucking ass in gear. And what do you think I'm doing? Get back on task.
Sometimes you just crack me up.
This buffering of this energetic barrier is created by the shit falling in from the black hole from half of the particles of mass, creating a barrier at the horizon of the black hole. And this violates the equivalence principle, which is written and underlined by general relativity. The shit falling. And so there's a problem here. The shit falling. This incompatibility is causing problems.
The shit falling.
They thought they understood this, but we don't understand it. And I could tell you this, but it took a lot of people to fall into place on this. And there are people trying to construct mathematical Hilbert spaces.
Right. Hilbert spaces are what we need. More specifically, we need Hilbert spaces which do, in fact, describe the universe around us, or the universes or segments of a specific region of a certain spacetime. We need Hilbert grids and Hilbert lattices, as you say. They actually can describe the world using the known vector calculus, which is now applied to Cartesian-coordinated Euclidean geometric spaces of three or infinite dimensions. Fucking nuts, and very complicated. The Greek alone is a whole course in and of itself. Better do one on Ad Doctor.
We went through all this stuff. That's exactly what people in loop quantum gravity have been working on for a long time. So they need to work on this stuff together and stop sticking their noses up at each other. That's essentially the physicists and the mathematicians. Not every physicist is good at math. Not every mathematician is good at physics. There's some people in the room that are one or the other. Some of them are both. Some of them suck and some of them are good. So what the fuck does it matter? I'm all of them. Average at everything, but I'm good at everything. So you figure it out.
It still takes a lot of work, I'm sure.
Figure out a fucking eigenvalue for your math, and once you get that figured out, I'll listen. If you can reduce your math and what you're saying down enough for the novice to understand, but what I'm meaning is...
I'm glad that you have taken it upon yourself to do this show. There is a lot of content out there, but most of it is extremely boring. What about if someone needs a higher caliber of information about what is being discussed here?
If you can, upon request, offer detailed technical explanations regarding the information you're claiming, then we'll speak. That's what I meant by that, but...
Might want to make sure you keep the audience fresh. Let's take that famous midpoint break to get our wits back about us.
All right, we are about halfway through
episode 17, Grand Unified Theories
of Quantum Foam.
Of Mental Quantum Foam.
A word needs to be said about these degrees and what degrees that might have been held by people in previous centuries when they were making scientific discoveries. For the most part, each of those discoveries were the reason why society and degrees were becoming more and more held in high regard to the point to where it is now, where there is a commercial, public, and a private structure of universities all over the world for higher levels of learning. In this country, in the United States, you have to pay to go to college. A lot of people's parents pay for them to go to college, to either a public or private college, and they can pay to go to public or private schools if they choose. And I mean elementary, middle, and high schools, where they're pupils and not actual students. Students are actual university students, so you might be 16 or 17, maybe, but more than likely it's 18, 19. There's 17-year-olds all over there, but some of them do it in high school, some of the college work in high school. You can do a little bit of both. A lot of people do that, but a lot of people don't do it the way I did it, and at this present time, I'm not going to get into that, but what I am going to say is that regardless of credibility and qualifications, I think the substance of the academic additions that you're making...
Take Faraday, for instance.
...that an individual is making that is contributing towards furthering science.
Surely more important than degrees that an institute gave you.
The progression of knowledge, the quest to find out everything. Even though we know we will never find out everything, we just want to keep being able to create innovations that make our lives easier and safer. And I think that's generally the point of the quest for knowledge and technology. But we are going to assume that the individuals are at a certain standard of academic prowess. There's certain academic standards which need to be adhered to generally to allow individuals to even be allowed to have a seat at the table. But for the moment, we're putting that down and we're going to say the table is this.
Now it's a party.
We are speaking across the table. We are at the round table.
I like the sound of that.
Oh, this will be good. He always says he's the top math head in the room or something. Watch.
I am the foremost mathematician. My purpose is to verify the accuracy of the mathematics of this universe, and to poke fun at all you assholes.
Very funny.
This table is a virtual table. This table extends across spaces and times. This table can skip dimensions. It can go back and forth faster than the speed of light. It can teleport from 3D position in space to 3D position in space.
In the same space-time.
As well as 3D position in space to a different space-time, and then a 3D position space in that space-time, across that vector. So this table that we are at right now is the galactic table. That's it. The universal table. Once we are at the galactic level, we are essentially able to teleport and go back in time and go forward in time. However, one of those may not be possible, more than likely the back in time part. You may be able to go faster than the speed of light, but what if it is at the expense of going forward in time only? So what happens if you go to a different position that's back in time, but you go forward in time when you go there? Now figure that one out. Even on a single line, it's some kind of twisted up shape, klabiao shit.
Let's not get too far into the string theory jargon yet here. It's pretty confusing just talking about simple geometric transformations involving tidal effects from one non-Einstein-based manifold to another, which adheres to a new theoretical set of parameters, which, upon an upcoming experiment, whether in the real world or a thought experiment, will determine whether or not these new frameworks are even possible. Too confusing for now.
Something. Which you can't really explain any other way without some complicated math and some other bullshit that doesn't make sense.
Something.
Hilbert space. No, that makes sense. But with these attempts at grand unified theories, we need to take into account everything at least once. Every wacky theory, every idea that we've ever learned, every point of the knowledge that we currently know, we have to examine at the depths of singularity. We need to examine every point in our entire space-time down to the point where we can describe the spin of every antiparticle and particle and every bit of everything. Otherwise, there is no teleportation, there is no faster than light speed, there is no getting out of our region of our solar system. We will be stuck in the solar system region forever. Sure, people will be messing around out in the Oort cloud. What's after that? Nothing. It's essentially like a mini interstellar medium, but not. So there's actually stuff out there. The density of space of those vacuums is still almost a complete vacuum. So I'm sure we will be finding out very soon what it's like to have micrometeors go through you, because that shit does suck. It really fucking does. They knew that. All right, back on task here. So we have the general relativity approaches. We have the quantum mechanical Dirac equation approaches, Feynman diagram approaches. That describes it all for now, what we know now, what we can do with material science now. We are quickly approaching the point at which these electronics will not get any better and will be stuck at the wall of the point where we start to lose track of the electrons in the wires. And so that's the smallest that physical electronics can be produced in this space-time. Are we going to be able to produce any other molecules in any other space-times? Meaning, could still be our own, only at a scale which puts it outside and to where the wave properties outweigh the relativistic and definitely the Newtonian physics that had been acting on it.
Hey, we didn't even have microscopes like you guys have now. I still am having trouble understanding what you mean when you are talking about HTML5 bootstrap framework elements. Like, what the fuck? Where does this shit live? Where do I live? What the fuck?
Son of a bitch.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
I hate knowing shit, but anyway, Max Planck, that guy, he was sort of the host for all of the scientists at the beginning of the 1900s. The 20th century, he had derived a way to describe frequencies in a way that works mathematically and made sense logically to the scientists of the day. One of the best universities in the world is named after Max Planck and is primarily located in Germany. But he is important because at the scale of what is called the Planck length, there is wave-particle duality. And there was Louis de Broglie, and Niels Bohr, and Einstein, and others. They began the theory of the quantum, but now we are taking a look at everything once again, 65 years after the death of Mr. Einstein, but you should continue on.
So what happens at this point, this H-wave point, where you throw the ball up, that moment where it's stopped. However, because of position and time, it is never stopped. And because of mass, it warps space-time. So you throw both of those together, and what do you get? We're trying to figure it out. I'm pretty close, I think. But I need to build an entire architecture of quantum computers and operating systems, kernels, software stacks, and user interfaces to develop a programming interface to develop programs to test what I need to test in order to make the claims that I want to make and that I am and have been making. So you go figure how hard that is. We can only do so much, and so far this is what I am doing. So there are people who have extended loop quantum gravity to higher dimensions. They've included symmetries, supersymmetry. I don't buy that. There's been methods applied to anti-de Sitter space. I don't buy that. And the problem is some of these people don't understand LQG and string theory, both. At least the younger people in string theory are more open-minded than they used to be. And I think, in general, people are more open-minded. Because they don't really trust the bullshit of the past, because all the older people lied to all the youth for so many years. Then the youth figure it out, and they're like, what the fuck? The fuck, man? Change this shit. The fuck, man? That's what I'm doing right the fuck now, man. These motherfuckers.
The fuck, man.
They fucking destroying this shit, man. Fucking slap them, man. Fucking slap them in the face with a fucking glove,
man.
Motherfucker. fucking ground. Spit at your feet, you ground. Piece of shit, ground. Fucking old ass ground. Geezer ground. Mother ground. Fuckers fucking up our planet, ground. It's everybody. It's everybody's problem. That's not my problem. It's your fucking problem. It's a fucking problem, okay? So these theories theoretically are not your fucking problem. It's your fucking problem. It's your fucking problem. It's your fucking problem. Incompatible. I believe there is some reconciliation potential here. So what do you do when you need to look at the stuff a different way?
That really is a big problem, and it does affect everyone a small amount.
Look at some of the popular stuff on why these are right or why these are wrong, and there may not be much merit to some of them, but I think there is a little bit, because I also happen to agree that the only game in town might be the only game in town.
I don't know about that.
That is all fine and dandy, and I do agree with you as well that the only game in town is such a thing.
I was satisfied knowing how, but didn't dare ask why and honestly expect to figure out the answer.
But we are talking about a theory that is supposed to solve the inherent compatibility issues with quantum mechanics and relativistic tensor mathematics, so there are many things to consider here. I personally worked on my Hawking radiation because of this problem of information loss. It is a big problem. They have this thing called a Planck star. Explain that one a little bit.
All right, so we're going to speak a little bit about what a Planck star is. A Planck star is a hypothetical astronomical object. It hasn't been seen. It's part of this theory. So the important part is paying attention to the energy density of a collapsing star. Due to Planck sizes and distances and times being of an essence to our quantum mechanical theories, this is sort of a structure designed to explain a way that there is adequate room for certain bits of information to be caught inside between one point and another inside a black hole. So to speak, being within it, or comprised of it, or encoded in it, or within it. This is basically just an idea to avoid information loss, and this is directly against the Hawking radiation issue. There are other things that we see, relativistic effects. This seems mighty convenient, and I'm not quite sure if this correctly describes it. But this may be a way to describe something that alludes to a way to describe it. So we are keeping our ears open for that, but there are certain things that we need to study a little bit more. Primordial black holes, emission of Hawking radiation can now be calculated, and we can put that with effects on time. We can compare it with gravitational effects with time and with grid and lattice math, so hopefully we can figure out a way to describe a container that can do all of this. That's what we're trying to do here.
Sweet.
Carlo Rovelli and Francesca Vidodo, this is current stuff within the last decade. There are other things that might be a solution, black hole firewalls and such, but I don't know how we study these. Is there a such thing as a cycle between a black hole to a white hole? What are these white holes, and how do we describe it in terms of general relativity? And so, the negative inverse math stuff. So that's what they're proposing, and we might be able to see this at some point. So we need to make our claims and try to figure out what the hell is going on here. But let me get back to this on the game in town stuff.
Quantum foam.
Because it, to me, is not the only game in town. It is a precursor and merely a quite complex methodological step in an approach to explain the theory of everything. And the only real way to do that is to create a new structure that has a set of predefined variables and functions that can be configured to the correct parameters,
the theory of everything,
the correct initial starting values. Then you can run the computer inquiry,
the theory of everything.
It will give you a response to the functions, to the questions that you asked. Then, given those responses, they determine whether or not upon checking the calculations slowly, meticulously, and thoroughly, they determine their accuracy, finding when they are mathematically sound. Then, if the certain properties that we find match what we have been claiming this whole time, we can be sure that we're right.
The theory of everything.
So, these equations need to be reformulated in such a way where they can all interact on a one-to-one scale. The Feynman diagrams need to actually encompass relativistic tensor equations. They need to have the tidal warpature in each point. It needs to be able to be actually described from a less complicated set of wave functions and mechanics, because the math is too hard for anybody to do. because we don't have enough information. So it needs to be done a different way, using a different set of information, or at least a different formulated way to use the same information that we are already aware of. With given improvements in accuracy and the updated revision on the numbers and the constants to date. So it might be possible. And that prosody goes to show you that Exhibit A demonstrates the mathematics needed to describe the scenarios you are thinking of right now. So essentially, that is most of what I got here. And that is all we have for Episode 17.
Grand Unified Theories.
Of
quantum foam.
The Zeroth Wave Disclaimer.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the author or authors and do not necessarily reflect the particular views, thoughts, or opinions of Zeroth Wave Productions, any of its sister companies, its parent company, Zeroth Enterprises, or any other entity which had existed, will exist, or which, quote-unquote, presently must exist outside the realm of our current space-time.
Quantum Foam is produced by Zeroth Wave Productions.